Welcome to Innovation. I'm Kara Hedlund, and we're in the studios at the University of Sioux Falls. And joining me now is Thomas Loveland. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Pleasure to be here.
Tom is the chief scientist at the USGS Earth Resource Observation or Science Center, better known as AROST, right? AROST Data Center, and co-chair of the Landsat Science Team.
Yes.
Yes. And you just announced a new batch of scientists for the next 5 years.
That's correct. And this is a joint venture we do with NASA. The USGS organizes the team, but it's a cooperative activity with NASA. And what we try to do is select about 20 of the best and the brightest of Landsat researchers from across the United States and around the world. And we put them to work for a five-year period, giving us advice on how to make the Landsat program more successful.
More successful?
Yes.
Can you keep building and getting better than it already is?
Over the last 10 years, we've probably been in one of the most remarkable periods of innovation in Landsat's history. And that's been driven by changes in Landsat policy, advances in technology, and the creativity of minds that happen when you give them tons and tons of data.
And then they tell you what they want more of? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah. You know, with this team, as we've gone through this period of significant innovation, it's clear that the old ways we've done business needed to be updated. And so we seek both scientific and technical input on everything from how to operate our satellites to better meet the needs of the user community, how to improve the characteristics of the satellite products that we put out, and ideas on capabilities we'll need when we are talking about future satellites.
So we're talking about a satellite that just orbits, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And takes pictures.
Yes.
And so how do you improve upon what that satellite does?
Well, you know, one of the key things that we need is as many images of the surface of the Earth as we possibly can have. And if we think back to the early days of Landsat, first starting in 1972, from that period forward, Landsat really represents an unprecedented Earth record. It is probably the longest running and richest continuous record that gives us objective information of what's happened to our planet. Now, because of technical limitations in the early times, the number of images of the Earth that we could acquire were limited because of technology issues, data recorder sizes, and the like. Those kinds of changes have gradually gone away. And so what we've done working with the team is essentially over the last 5 years in particular, doubled the number of images we take of the Earth. We now collect about 1,200 images of the Earth every day. And that's covering areas that are about 110 miles by on the side. So it's a lot of pictures of the images. Every 16 days, we cover the entire Earth.
And the images, because mm-hmm. of technology, mm-hmm. are clearer, more precise?
The image quality is much better in several ways. One is the radiometry, if you will, the spectral measurements we cover are more precise. There's less noise in them, so we can identify objects with more repeatability than before. And the geometry, the Earth location, where did we exactly image, has improved dramatically, since one of the things we want to do is understand how places change over time. Making sure we can line up today's observation with the early days is a real critical thing. So mm-hmm. both of those things, quality of imagery in radiometric and geometric terms, have advanced dramatically.
And so you bring the science team together of mm-hmm. 20 people, yep. five-year commitment. Mm-hmm. All different types of levels of expertise?
We have a wide range from engineers that can help us with the nuts and bolts of satellite measurements to applied people that use the imagery to understand some of the significant problems facing the Earth, and people in the middle that have that ability to improve how we process data.
And so do you go in with this science team and just say, here's what's successful, How do we build on that? Or do you start from scratch and let your imagination just go wild?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
We have our ongoing challenges that we present to the team, and we seek their input. But we also let them use their experience to brainstorm on what they think is important next steps for making the Landsat program more successful. I want to give you a little example. About 7-8 years ago, in the middle of our first sponsored team, the team started questioning why all of the Landsat data that have ever been collected aren't sitting in our archive at the Aero Center. In the old days, again, technology and a little bit of data policy related things had data being collected by international ground stations scattered around the world. But at the time that was being done, there was no policy requirement that they had to return the imagery to us. So the team's comment was, well, why don't you just ask them for everything they've collected? The comment was, well, they have no obligation to provide it to us. And so the idea got set aside a few times, and the team kept bringing it back. And finally, we embarked on contacting everybody. Now, the long and the short of it is this effort called the Landsat Global Archive Consolidation resulted in 4.5 million images coming to Eros from places like Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, and Ecuador, all around the world, that were just sitting in old warehouses and in danger of being lost forever. We now have all of that in our archive and available to people around the world. It essentially doubled the density of our Earth record.
And you have digitized it, and it's accessible,
and
right?
Everything, as the scenes come in, they're tossed into our, they're put in our archive. Everything in our archive can be accessed by anybody in the world at no cost.
At no cost.
At no cost.
And is that then how, I mean, you mentioned before we went on the air that you're fully funded to begin another satellite
That's correct.
Launch. So this helps. I mean, the information, it's needed, I guess, is my question.
As our archive holdings get richer, as the number of images we're collecting every day increase, there's the new ideas, the new applications, and how to use this to address practical problems or scientific questions grows and grows. Right now we're distributing on a monthly basis about 1.5 million Landsat images. That's a huge amount, and they go all around the world. What that has created is a growing user base that comes up with more creative ideas on how to use it, and so the demand keeps growing. As a result of that, in the United States, Landsat's used in many, many programs at state and federal levels, as well as in the private sector. A study completed a couple of years ago concluded that on an annual basis, data from the Eros archive brings an economic return of just about $1.8 billion a year to the United States.
Wow. Wow.
And so that, of course, has given us bipartisan popularity, and the Landsat program's on the most stable footing it's ever been in its history.
So the politics of it all has been removed.
That's correct. Yeah, we are more stable than ever. The example is we're in the development stage for Landsat 9 that has a tentative launch date of December of 2020, and we're already starting the definitional stage for the satellites that follow after that that could come in the middle of the next decade.
And as technology changes, the planning changes with it?
It certainly does. And that's, right now, Landsat 9 is a remake of the capabilities on Landsat. Landsat 9's a remake of Landsat 8, which was the best satellite we've ever had, so we're thrilled with that. At the same time, NASA has already started investing in new imaging technology studies so that we can start seeing what we should be putting in space about 10 years from now.
Now, you have, there are other satellites around the world taking imagery as well. Are you able to compare and contrast and see those images too?
Yeah. In fact, we have a lot of cooperation with other satellite data operators around the world. Probably our best relationship is with the European Space Agency that a couple of years ago launched a satellite called Sentinel-2, and they've just launched a second one in the last year. Sentinel-2 is designed to be similar to Landsat, and so we've worked very closely with them to plan our acquisition schedules, to create products that are interchangeable. Now, essentially, that means we have more than double the amount of imagery that we can use together. One of the big reasons why we can do that is that we can afford to access each other's data. And this is where policy comes into it. The data policy changed in 2008 to make all Landsat data free, created a revolution in use. The European Space Agency reversed their longstanding policy of data sales and have made theirs free now, too. And as a result of that, the world has access to incredible numbers of images.
As you think back on your career at Eros and all that you've been a part of and the changes in technology, what's the one thing that you go, I did that?
You know, eyes don't do many things at Eros, but we's do an awful lot.
I was a part of that. Let's rephrase that. I was a part of that.
That's exactly it. You know, in my particular research area, I study land change. And, you know, I'm very proud to say that we are one of the premier agencies in the world that produce information on how the land, what the condition of the land is and how it's changing. And that's important. But, you know, from a personal perspective, getting involved in the science side of Landsat and working to listen to the community around the world, and we do that through our Landsat science team, has really opened our doors to innovation. And you know, being part of that outreach has been a real opportunity for me.
Can you even imagine where Eros will be 30 years from now?
You know, it's very difficult. I can't
because you started when there was film, right?
I took my first class in remote sensing, the best stuff to use Landsat, the semester before the first satellite was launched. So I do go back a few years, and that was in 1971.
Okay. Okay. So 30 years from now, can you even dream what is going to be?
You know, what we all assume is that we're on a path toward almost continuous observation of the Earth, where we'll have constellations of satellites imaging the Earth every day or maybe multiple times a day. We'll have the analytical capabilities in place that can analyze all of the imagery all the time. Mm-hmm. Right now, you know, our new wave is to start analyzing today's imagery in the context of 40 years, because what happens in the future is based in the past. So we're moving to a big data era where that will only grow, in which we really are near real time in our surveillance interpretation of what's happening on the Earth.
3D imaging?
3D imaging is capable already with different kinds of technologies, and that will only grow.
Huh. So as an Earth observer, what do you see?
You know, basically what we see is that some parts of our planet are changing very rapidly and other parts haven't changed in a long, long time. The footprint of humans is found, it's everywhere. And, you know, our ability to better document that increases our ability to understand why it's changing, what the consequences are, and how we better manage our planet. Right now, I think one of the exciting things that's happening is that the new capabilities that Landsat 8 brought with us has given us a chance to focus on our polar regions more than we ever have. And as we know, they're incredibly fragile, changing more rapidly, particularly in the north than many others areas. And so understanding, you know, how ice is changing and what the implications of that could be on sea level rise or anything else is a real important area of Earth observation.
Can you measure thickness of ice, or are you talking about ice breaking off?
Most of the studies right now are looking at ice movement. Mm-hmm. Whether we're growing or expanding ice sheets, and that ultimately gets to the point of breaking.
So we've had some hurricanes, mm-hmm. we've had some fires, some mudslides. Are you able to capture that and assist rescue workers as well as to mm-hmm. what's happening where?
One of the activities at the Aero Center is a hazards program that works with our imagery, but with imagery provided by space agencies around the world to collect images over any disaster, whether it's in the United States or other parts of the world, and apply those to help first responders and for the recovery efforts that follow it. In our particular case, one of the things we have is a team of people that are monitoring the severity of wildfires. And so things like the Big Thomas Fire in California are on our plate as things that we are mapping and monitoring.
And are you going to, you're going to be able then to see and monitor the regrowth areas as well?
That's an important part of Landsat. Because of its continuous observation, we not only can help assess the condition immediately following the fire, and that's useful for people putting together the restoration plans to improve the recovery process, but we also then can monitor the effectiveness of those recovery programs and use that knowledge to improve management in future fires.
So let me ask you, you have two active satellites right mm-hmm. now providing imagery. Landsat 9 goes up in 2 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
Will you have three? Will you always retire one? Are you going to keep them going as long as you can?
We're on a path to try to keep two satellites in orbit at all times. And so Landsat mm-hmm. 7, our oldest satellite, and it's just it's coming up on 19 years old, mm-hmm. Is getting close to the end of its life. Our projections are that by early 2021, if everything keeps working, that's a point it runs out of the fuel needed to maintain its orbit. So we will start the decommissioning process right about the time, lower it down to a lower mm-hmm. orbit so it can eventually disintegrate near its atmosphere. That's about the time Landsat 9 is going up. So what we'll do is lower Landsat 7, put Landsat 9 in its place.
Okay.
So that maintains that continuity.
So with your upcoming retirement, mm-hmm. are you still going to be...
Is that news?
And I think it's news. You broke that to me.
Sure.
Will you stay actively involved, or can you really walk away?
Yeah, that's the question I've been asking myself for a while.
Right.
No, I'm not convinced I can really walk away. The excitement of being at a launch in 2020 is pretty exciting. I intend to maintain some activity with the Landsat program and with the Landsat science team for a few more years.
Okay. Thomas Loveland, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on the program today.
Thank you very much.